before. Crown and anchor me, or let me sail away. Hey, blue.
Joni Mitchell being nautical but nice. And always a delight to bring some Joni into your ears. Blue, of course, the song, that sense of beauty and melancholy. I wonder where that will take us. Well, that is in the hands of my guest, Catherine May. Now, Catherine is a New York Times best-selling writer. She's author of Wintering, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me play Joni Mitchell. That was thrilling.
entirely our pleasure. What a wonderful thing is the life and work of Joni Mitchell. Where does that song take you?
Well, for me, it's the most pristinely beautiful song about the sea, and the way that the sea contains kind of deep pleasure and melancholy and poetry. I'm a total sea lover, as I think you're about to find out, and that captures all of it for me.
Well, if we could mix our musical references, that song is going to take us to some faraway beach, which is a Eno thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think specifically for me, it conjures the beaches that I know best, which are those kind of cold, windswept beaches, you know, those the ones that aren't very much like your beaches, I'm afraid.
But this is your thing, the beach and the cold. You two, perhaps not made for each other, but you've grown to make an accommodation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always been very drawn to the sea. I didn't grow up by the sea, but I did grow up by a river. I'm not comfortable in the sun. I'm very comfortable in the darker months.
Now, what's that about? Because that's contrary to many people's experience, that, you know, the darker months are times of almost morose moments in our year.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, I like the drama of winter. You know, I love the big storms that come. I love the really icy cold. I adore snow, although I rarely see it. I live in the southeast of England and, you know, we see snow once every 4 years now, maybe. I just think that winter is a season with so many depths and with that lovely contrasting coziness and the opportunity to kind of hunker down at home. And I just love it.
Let's cut to the chase, though, because it's not coziness that you find when you go to the beach in winter.
Yeah, I love cold water swimming.
Cold water swimming. All right. Now, where are we going to do that? Tell me the beach of your choice.
So my house is about 4 minutes from my local beach at Whitstable. And I like to walk down there maybe three times a week in the winter and get into the sea. So by February, by February, the water is about 3 or 4 degrees centigrade. So it's hovering close to freezing. The sea gets physically thicker. You can feel that it's forming ice crystals in there.
How tempting. All right. Do go on.
You get weirdly from cold water swimming. And believe me, like, I find it unpleasant to get in every time. But it gives you the most incredible high. It floods you with all of the kind of happy hormones. And when you come out, you feel like you could conquer the world. That's my sales pitch.
All right, let's take that back to the going in bit, because I'm intrigued by that. Is your technique to rush with abandon into the waves, or to tippy toe, poke it a toe, go a little bit deeper, shudder, squeal, scream, and then plunge? I mean, how do you do it?
I'd say somewhere between. You have to be quite definite about getting in, because if you take too much time, you're too cold by the time, you know, you're trying to swim. So I kind of stride in, you know, I try and set myself a pace. I march in, I take a big breath. I fill my lungs with air, because if you breathe out before you get in, you can't breathe in again for about a minute, and it's not very pleasant. So I fill my lungs with air and I submerge and then maybe scream for about 30 seconds and then it all settles down. It's fine.
Because that plunge, that plunge will literally take your breath away, of course.
Yeah, no, it literally does. I mean, it tightens up all the muscles between your ribs. So there is a moment when you cannot breathe in. So you best make sure you can breathe out instead.
Now, you were initially, you had an accomplice in this activity when you first began. That must have been helpful. Someone to keep you honest, keep you going forward.
It did really help. Yeah, we kind of dared each other into it, I suppose. She'd tried it before, so she knew a little bit about it. And we were with each other. We supported each other to get in. We also supported each other not to have to go too far, not to push ourselves too far, because, you know, you have to always be aware of you know, the dangers and risks of cold water swimming. But it massively helped to have a companion. And she said this thing to me, which I've always thought about afterwards, which is to be resilient, you have to do a resilient thing. And she let me set up that cycle of resilience that I've just found so positive in my life ever since.
You say it's high risk behaviour to some extent. I mean, what happens if you're out there too long?
Well, you know, there's a risk of hypothermia, and it's so important to pay close attention to what your body's telling you.
I'm cold.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't think you guys have probably ever risk hypothermia in your seas. I think you're probably okay.
That's the ice crystal thing. That is a telling difference between your seas and ours, I think.
But we've got no sharks, right? You know.
Yeah, well, it's too cold for them, probably.
It's too cold for them. They're too sensible.
You've written beautifully about this too. That it's a place of intimacy, a place in which you lose inhibition.
Yeah, so we came to swim in a group, a very kind of, you know, loosely formed group, and we didn't necessarily know each other very well. But when we got into that water together, there was this kind of loosening of our tongues. You know, we found ourselves just talking about everything that was on our mind, and there was no inhibition and no barriers between us.
You say that you're suddenly in love with your fellow swimmer. It must be a wonderful sort of communion of souls out there in the chilly waves.
It is. It's a real bonding experience, and it's something that it takes you into this slightly other world, this space that doesn't feel quite like any other place you're in at any other time. And it's, you know, it's very, very kind of affectionate. Like those people that I've swum with over the years now, I just feel a deep love for them. There's something very instant about the connection you make when you get into that very strange situation together and you experience that endorphin rush together.
Well, plus that thing of shared adversity, of the imminent possibility of hypothermia and slow death, that will bring people together, I think.
Yeah, and you have to trust each other and you know, take each other's advice. But at the same time, you have to remember that cold water swimming releases exactly the same blood chemicals as taking the drug ecstasy. So, you know, all those people that hark back to their clubbing days in the 90s, you know, like we did the same thing in the water and it didn't cost us a penny.
So you might be out there all night.
Yeah, you see, I don't like missing out on sleep, so the swimming works really well for me.
is kit allowed? Are you wetsuited or are you bare to the elements?
Some people are. Yeah, I mean, like we're very non-judgmental. I go in a swimming costume. And some neoprene socks, so like the ones that surfers wear. But I couldn't be bothered with the faff of pulling on a wetsuit. It was just too much trouble to get on and off again. So I just, after about 3 days, I started going in my swimming costume.
Gosh, it would keep you warmer, though. I guess that's not the point.
It's not the point, yeah. But also, I mean, you know, you don't get the full sensory pleasure of the sea on your skin when you're wearing a wetsuit. Only small parts of you are actually touching the water. And I want to feel the water. Like the texture of the water is so beautiful in winter and so different to summer, which, you know, I love being in the summer too. So no, a wetsuit is not for me. They smell horrible as well.
Your interest in coldness and in you know, your book, Wintering, is that led by the swimming, or is the swimming just a part of a broader enthusiasm for the cold?
Yeah, it's part of that broader enthusiasm, because my favourite walks are winter walks as well. I love that crisp air and the sense of stillness you get in midwinter that maybe doesn't come at other times. And I love the kind of walks on the clifftops with the wind blowing in my ears. I love every element of it, I think. And I love, at the same time, lighting a big bonfire and getting warm again.
Yes, well, that's the interesting counterpoint. But I guess, yeah, a walk like that, a walk braced against the wind, a walk in which you're feeling your skin keenly, it's different to the sort of a balmy summer's eve, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, the thing is that I'm rubbish in the summer. I really don't do well in heat. I don't enjoy it. Okay. I moan all the time. So I guess part of it is like it's the relief from it not being summer. But one of the things about the local beach in winter that I never knew about beaches until I got here is that in the winter, the pebbles get covered in frost. And so the beach is white in the morning. And when you look up close, it's covered in these beautiful little crystals of ice. And it's stunning. You know, it smells different. The soundscape becomes different for some reason. I don't know why. Everything about it is a different sensory environment, and it is so absolutely beautiful to me.
I think for those who love winter too, there's often a bit of an exclusivity about those places where often you are alone because you are a rare breed.
Yeah. In Celtic culture, winter is commonly described as a gestational month or a gestational season, a period of time when we kind of draw in and brew the next season, I guess, like brew what's going to happen next to us. And I love the idea that the year is pregnant in winter and just resting and waiting and getting their house in order, ready for the kind of birth of spring. I think that works for me, actually. I need that time. I need that moment in the year when I can take a breath, reflect on what's gone before and start to think about what happens next.
Have we been living through something of a sort of metaphorical winter with our COVID months? Is there similar elements in that?
I think that's definitely true. I think we've been through this big communal wintering together in the last 18 months. And I think we've experienced this very enforced kind of retreat from everyday life. And it's been so interesting to kind of watch and listen to people's responses to that, because on one hand, we've been really frustrated and we've been pressing against it and we've been worried and we've been angry and all of those really negative emotions that come up when we winter. But at the same time, I've seen lots of people making big changes in their lives, you know, and really thinking about what this change of pace meant to them and what it made possible. And now that we're going back in, well, we're trying to go back into normal life in the UK, but we don't seem to be doing terribly well at the moment. But, you know, we're all thinking about what happens next and how we go back into the life that we had before. And I'm hearing a lot of people thinking, I don't really want it to be the same anymore. You know, I don't want to have those, you know, commutes, for example, or, I don't know,
yeah, well, there are all sorts of possibilities, really, are there not, for reforming our lives, finding something genuinely new in this coming spring, should that emerge. And I guess, well, for you, Catherine, there will always be cold water. That will be a constant for you, regardless of what happens.
It's a good message for life. Well, hopefully global warming won't take my cold water away. But it's good to have a thing that you can retreat to, isn't it? Whatever that is. And I totally accept that cold water might not be everyone's cup of tea. But, you know, having a space you can go into that takes you into a different mind state is essential, really. And I think a lot of us don't have that because we don't have time. We're so busy. We're so overwhelmed. And I think we all have to start to make time for something like cold water swimming, but maybe not cold water swimming if that's not your bag.
Catherine, thank you. It's a challenging thought, but surrounded in beautiful ideas. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Catherine May, author of Wintering, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times, and keen cold water swimmer. And keen is a word that I choose there with care. The book, it's in shops and libraries. And this is Blueprint on Radio National.